Welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. Today, we are going to be talking about homesteading not as a trend or an aesthetic, but as something deeply regulating. So how working with your hands, tending to animals, growing food, and living seasonally can calm the nervous system and restore a sense of stability that so many people feel like they have lost. I know I felt like that. I felt like I had a return to my roots years ago, and now here I am homesteading. But we will explore why these practices feel grounding, even if you have never done them before. Like, I didn't grow up around animals, and now I am surrounded by animals. And why so many people are being drawn back to these practices right now. So before we continue, I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Arvati, my natural clean skincare brand. Arvati was created from the same philosophy we talk about here on my podcast, supporting the body instead of forcing it, using simple nourishing ingredients that work with your skin, not against it, no harsh chemicals, no unnecessary fillers, just intentional care rooted in how the body is designed to function. So if you're trying to simplify your routine and choose products that align with a more natural, grounded way of living, you can find all of my clean skincare products at Arvati.com. And it ties so well into today's episode of discussing homesteading and the return back to it and how we are grounded while doing it. Because there is something almost unsettling about how quickly the body responds to homesteading. So people report sleeping better within days, which I 100% have experienced, especially when I'm outside barefoot around in the yard. People have shared anxiety softening without effort. I've also experienced that. Your thoughts slowing down, appetite regulating, patience returning. And this happens before routines are perfected, before systems are even efficient, and before you have all of those skills mastered, because there's so many things that go into homesteading, and I think that overwhelms people. But you can have these immediate results before you're even mastering woodworking or mastering gardening, just like getting out there and doing. And that tells us something important. This is not a mindset. This is not belief. This is physiological alignment. So the human body was designed to function in direct relationship with the natural world. So think land, weather, animals, light, seasons. Your body is constantly responding. And isn't that so cool? Like, think about, for me personally, I recently changed all my lights from LED to incandescent, and I can feel the difference. My body feels the difference. So rest also has that purpose of having a relationship with the natural world. For most of history, daily life required participation in these systems, and modern living has stripped nearly all of that away while expecting the body to operate the same way. So here we are, we're in tune with our system, our environment, and now we are in this artificial system, and we're expecting our bodies to be in that same physiological alignment. And it's just not happening. Like, do you feel that way? Like, how do you feel under natural sunlight versus how you feel under LED lights? So you see what I'm saying? Homesteading does not introduce something new. It restores what was always meant to be there. So when you work with soil, you're tending to animals, preparing food even, and move with the rhythms of daylight and season, the body receives signals it recognizes immediately. So there's this clear cause and effect, effort followed by outcome. You have this hunger followed by nourishment. You have fatigue followed by rest. And these are not abstract concepts. They are grounding cues that tell our nervous system it is oriented, supported, and safe. And when those signals return, the body stops bracing and living in stress and stops being tense. It no longer has to stay hypervigilant in an artificial environment that never resolves. And what I have found is I grew up in that environment. I was constantly hypervigilant. My body was always tense. And so homesteading, even these past few years, has helped me deregulate and come back into my own. And you also notice that digestion improves because the body is no longer on alert. Sleep deepens because the day made sense. You're out there grounding, you're connecting. You have emotional reactivity that softens because the nervous system, again, is no longer overwhelmed by constant meaningless stimulation. There was something I saw that it said, stop treating everything like an emergency. And I really took that to heart because I even recently, I feel like I was going from day to day, everything was an emergency. I was jumping into things. I was stressed. And when I took just a step back and was like, okay, everything's not an emergency. I can go outside. I can have some time in the sunshine. I can up some food. I feel so much better. And this is why homesteading feels like coming home, even if people who have never done it return to it. So the body does not need to be convinced. It remembers order when it encounters it. And when life begins to follow these natural patterns and rhythms again, everything else starts to fall back into place. And the nervous system operates in two primary states by design. So you have one state that prepares the body to respond, protect, and act. And the other allows the body to digest, repair, learn, and rest. And neither of these states is bad. They both have their purpose, okay? The problem is that modern life keeps people locked in the first state constantly, and I'm guilty. I was there. I feel like it's just this constant rush our whole life of go to school, get a good job, and you know, there's all these things going on. You got to tend to everything. And even when there's no immediate physical threat, you have emails, alerts, deadlines, financial stress, noise, artificial light, and nonstop information that tells your body to stay on guard without ever offering resolution. Do you feel like that? Because seriously, I have felt like that, and I realized I grew up in that. I grew up, you know, when the cell phones came into the era, and then I was constantly on my phone at a young age, like thinking about how that shaped my nervous system, you know, constantly having to be on guard with alerts. The nervous system was not built to remain alert without release. So it expects action to follow awareness. When that action never comes, tension accumulates. This is why people feel exhausted yet wired, anxious yet sedentary, overstimulated yet unsatisfied. So along with all of the environmental inputs like LED lights, which can contribute to these feelings, it is so crazy the environment that we live in, but our bodies are amazing and they adapt. So manual work just changes this immediately. So repetitive physical tasks, they activate sensory nerves in the hands, joints, muscles, and skin that communicate directly with the brainstem and vagus nerve. So these pathways send a simple grounding message to the body. You are present. You are oriented. You are doing something that matters. And these signals, they are measurable. So tactile engagement lowers cortisol. It increases dopamine in a steady, regulated way and shifts the body into its restorative state. You know, this state we have been so disconnected from. But there's also a deeper layer that rarely gets discussed. So manual work produces visible, tangible progress. Something was undone and now it is done. Something was broken and now it works. Something was empty and now it is full. So for example, the other day I went out and cleaned up my yard. There were bones everywhere because I give my dogs raw bones. They're on a raw diet. And when I say bones everywhere, there was bones everywhere. And I just cleaned up my environment and I felt so much better. So now when I look out the window, it's clean. There's just that little thing that's relating to my nervous system of, oh, you can relax. A project is done. You did this. You put the effort in. The body is designed to respond to completion. It relaxes when effort leads to a real outcome. So digital productivity rarely offers this. So tasks, they just disappear into screens. You don't have the ability to look out the window and see what you physically did. Work multiplies instead of resolves. There is output, but there's no embodiment. Like your body's not taking it in. It's almost like we have this natural disconnection from the screen, but because that's the environment that we live in, our bodies are adapting. So the body never receives the signal that the work cycle has closed with the screen, whereas versus me looking out the window. But homesteading restores that closure. You plant, you tend to those plants, you harvest, you feed yourself, you preserve, like canning, and you finish. The project is done, a full circle. So these actions satisfy a deep physiological expectation for effort followed by result. And these actions satisfy a deep physiological expectation for effort followed by result. And the neurochemistry that follows is not the spike and crash pleasure of consumption. So we get that when we are staring at a screen, we're getting that blue light, we're consuming this content that gives that spike and crash. And it's interesting how these screens are also just affecting our hormones, affecting, you know, the cortisol, our stress, but it is the steady satisfaction of competence, usefulness, and contribution that homesteading helps bring back and helps ground us. This is why people feel calmer after chopping wood than after scrolling. I do personally. Why baking bread grounds the mind more than ordering it or going to the store, because you're tending to something your mind has an ability to almost, I would say, repair itself. Why fixing a fence settles the nervous system more than checking off emails. But sometimes, you know, when you're out there banging the fence poles, it's not so fun. But the body trusts the work that leaves the evidence. Your body has the satisfaction. Again, the cycle's closed. So some would say this disconnect between modern life and physical reality happened accidentally through convenience and technology. Others notice that a population disconnected from tangible cause and effect becomes easier to overstimulate, easier to distract, and easier to manage emotionally. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose. So when people no longer interact with real outcomes, they become dependent on external validation and abstract systems to feel secure. So homesteading quietly reverses that. It brings the body back into agreement with how it was designed to function. Okay, we've forgotten how we've been designed, what purposes our body is serving. And when the nervous system feels oriented again, anxiety loses its footing, focus returns, and peace is no longer something that has to be forced. So it's this coming back into our bodies, because again, we are so distracted with everything going on. I mean, the news is constantly bombarding us. But one way that I have been able to ground and come back into my own is by working with my animals. Animals operate in the present moment. They don't look to the future with anxiety or ruminate on the past. And I think that's so beautiful. When us humans spend time caring for animals, the brain mirrors that state. So this is neurology. And however energy works, you can feel it when you are around animals. You know how you can feel the presence of someone staring at you or someone's behind you? There's some sort of energy work going on there, and animals very much have that, and it's beautiful. So research shows that interacting with animals lowers heart rate variability associated with stress and increases oxytocin, a hormone tied to bonding and trust. But tending animals goes deeper than companionship. It trains the brain into attunement. You begin to notice subtle shifts. So for example, on my homestead, if a goat is quieter than usual, a chicken that's hanging back from the flock, these micro observations sharpen the awareness and pull attention out of abstraction. So over time, people report increased intuition, patience, and emotional regulation. And 100%, I feel that. I notice when there's micro things going on with my animals, if they're acting weird, if they're louder, if they're hanging away from the rest of the crew, if a chicken's missing. So it's really just training my brain to go down into that piece of, we can take it slow. I don't have to focus on the past or the future. I'm here in the now. So these animals, they force coherence. You cannot rush them without consequence. You cannot dissociate and still care for them. So this rewires the brain away from fragmentation and back toward presence. There's a whole conspiracy called MK Ultra, where the whole purpose was to fragment the human mind and put humans into a dissociative state. So that's why you see people with their black and white checkered floorboards or other designs. They are showing you through symbolism. That's what that symbolizes, the fragmentation of the human personality. It's really evil, but some argue this is why industrial systems removed animals from daily human life. presence is hard to control and people who are tuned in are harder to manipulate. So seasonal living also aligns the body with light cycles, temperature changes, and food availability. If you want to learn more about eating in tune with the season, I recorded a podcast episode on the subject of seasonal eating, and these inputs regulate our heart rhythm, hormone production, and neurotransmitter balance. So when seasons are ignored, the body becomes confused. Like, think about that. Our body is intuitively reacting to the weather, the light. So our body does get confused when we're surrounded by blue light all day. It's like, what season are we in? So modern life demands constant productivity regardless of daylight or energy. Homesteading makes that impossible. The land is setting the pace. Winter, which I'm in right now, forces rest. It really does. Summer demands effort. You're outside all day. You're working the garden, the animals. Spring invites hope, but also work. You know, babies are being born. And fall calls for preparation. So you are stocking up your summer harvest. And mental health improves when the body no longer feels defective for needing cycles of expansion and contraction. Depression often lifts when rest is no longer framed as failure. There is also an interesting pattern. So seasonal cultures historically experienced fewer chronic mood disorders. So as artificial light and year-round productivity increased, so did anxiety and depression. Correlation, of course, does not prove causation, but patterns deserve attention, and patterns are how you can predict the future. Are you paying attention to the current economic landscape? When people hear the phrase bank freeze or capital controls, they often imagine something distant or dramatic like a movie plot. But in reality, these events are mundane, bureaucratic, and fast. They usually arrive quietly, justified as temporary measures, which we're seeing a lot of, you know, temporary things being put in place here in America and across the ocean in the UK going on, you know, digital ID. And by the time the public understands what is happening, the rules have already changed. You know how they roll things out first is for convenience, and then it's mandated and it's forced. And if you're not doing it, then you lose out on your daily conveniences. We have seen this repeatedly. So in countries like Lebanon, citizens woke up to discover they could no longer access their own savings. So think about that. Banks limited withdrawals to small weekly amounts, sometimes in local currency only, even as that currency rapidly lost value. People who worked their entire life suddenly found themselves unable to pay rent, buy food, or leave the country using their own money. The money technically existed, but access to it did not. And this is where homesteading comes in, because you are preparing for situations like this. And when I say, have you seen the economic landscape lately? I mean, if you're watching what was going on with metals and the banks that were manipulating the price and everything that's going on, I mean, Bitcoin's crashing right now. It is an interesting time to pay attention. In Greece, capital controls were introduced almost overnight during the debt crisis. So ATMs were rationed, daily withdrawal limits were imposed, and businesses could not pay suppliers. So ordinary people stood in lines, unsure how long access would last. The stress was not theoretical, it was embodied. Everybody was feeling it. People were not panicking because they lacked money. They were panicking because systems they trusted stopped responding. And this reminds me of when I met a couple who franchised McDonald's over in Russia, like in the 90s or 80s. They literally franchised McDonald's during the communist reign. And they talked about how there were lines outside of the grocery store, and then you'd be waiting there all day. So somebody from the family would go there all day. And then when it was lunchtime, they would shut it all down and the lines would have to be redone. And it was just chaos. And so homesteading helps us prepare for when these systems collapse. So currency collapse follows a similar pattern. It rarely feels real until prices move faster than wages. So in Venezuela, inflation accelerated to the point where a loaf of bread went from costing a few units of currency to thousands, then millions in a very short period of time. So eventually prices changed daily, then hourly. Paychecks became meaningless before people could spend them. So money lost its function as a store of value almost overnight. overnight. And at that point, people stopped thinking in terms of currency altogether. They bartered, they relied on family networks, they grew food. You know, they're returning to these homesteading skills. They used these skills instead of their monopoly money savings. So those who had land, animals, or practical knowledge survived with far less psychological trauma than those who depended entirely on wages and banks. Like, think about that. They put us into this system that's made us completely dependent. This is the part modern discussions often skip. Currency collapse is not just an economic event, it is a nervous system event. So when the medium you use to exchange your time and labor becomes unstable, the body no longer feels anchored in reality. So stress skyrockets because effort no longer reliably leads to survival. So even in less extreme scenarios, we see the warning signs. Bank freezing accounts during protests, payment processors shutting off access due to policy violations, governments discussing or implementing withdrawal limits for stability, you know, quote unquote safety. These actions are often framed as necessary safeguards, but the nervous system hears a different message. Access is conditional. So that realization changes behavior. People begin looking for ways to meet needs outside of centralized systems, not because they want to opt out of society per se, but because they want buffers, backup plans, options. This is why self-sufficiency resurges when trust in institutions weakens. A garden is not subject to account freezes. Chickens do not require permission to lay eggs. Stored food does not disappear because of a policy change. I still have all that canned turkey broth from 2 weeks ago on my shelf, regardless of what Bitcoin or the dollar's doing or the metals. So tangible resources bypass abstraction. So when bread prices jump from dollars to tens of dollars, then hundreds and thousands, then millions, and I'm not even kidding, people do not suddenly become political or ideological. They become practical. They ask one question: how do I feed my family tomorrow if this continues? So homesteading answers that question. And this is where the deeper implication lives. A population that can feed itself, heat itself, and solve problems locally is less reactive to fear-based messaging. So this does not require believing that collapse is imminent, though I think it might be, but it'll probably be a smooth transition. They'll put us into something that we aren't even expecting. It just requires acknowledging that systems are not guaranteed. History shows us that currencies fail, banks close, and rules change far more often than we are taught. The anomaly is not collapse. The anomaly is long-term stability. Like, think about that. So when people feel drawn towards land, skills, food storage, and, you know, self-reliance right now, it is not paranoia. It is memory, collective biological memory returning to our roots. And before we keep going, I want to pause here for just a moment. If everything we're talking about is resonating and you felt that quiet nudge to be more prepared, but also a little overwhelmed about where to start, I created something specifically for that. My emergency preparedness planner is designed for real life, not fear. It walks you through food, water, heat, medical basics, and home readiness in a calm, practical way that doesn't require panic buying or extreme measures. Just clear steps, thoughtful planning, and realistic preparedness that you can actually follow through on. So if you want to build security without spiraling, you can find it at shop.gubbahomestead.com. That's my emergency preparedness planner, and it's there to help you feel grounded, capable, and ready. So let's get back into it, because the next part is about convenience, and I've been talking about that through this podcast. Convenience, which we are so attuned to. You know, I feel like convenience really slipped in with our great grandparents. You know, you got the grocery stores rolling in, the microwaves, different convenience foods you just pop in the microwave. And convenience removes friction. And friction is how living systems strengthen. So muscles weaken without resistance, immune systems weaken without exposure, nervous systems weaken without challenge. So this is not a moral judgment. It is a biological and physiological reality. When something is never asked to respond, it forgets how to respond entirely. So modern convenience was sold as progress, and in many ways it is, but convenience also quietly removed the need to remember, adapt, and problem solve. So food arrives without effort, heat appears in the flip of a switch, information is instant at our fingertips, so skills are outsourced, our memory is externalized, and the body and mind are no longer required to engage fully with daily survival. Like, think about it. I mean, how lucky and fortunate we are that we don't have to be constantly in survival mode. But at one point, is this convenience taking a toll? Because over time, this creates a subtle atrophy, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. People forget how to wait, forget how to struggle productively, forget how to tolerate discomfort long enough to learn something new. So when friction disappears, patience disappears with it. When effort disappears, confidence follows. So homesteading reintroduces friction in a way that strengthens instead of overwhelms. It introduces adaptive stress, not trauma or chaos. Although yes, sometimes chaos does sneak into the homestead anyway. You know, the animals are out, someone's not listening, the goats are in the garden eating everything. It can be chaotic, but it is the kind of stress the body knows how to resolve. You know, the animals are getting out, I put them back in, the crop's failing, you troubleshoot for next year, weather shift plans, you have a hailstorm that rolls through, tools break, and then you respond. You adjust, you learn, you recover, and you grow from that. So each of these experiences teaches the nervous system something critical. I can handle this. That lesson compounds. The body builds trust in itself. Resilience stops being theoretical and becomes embodied. So convenience culture does the opposite. When systems work perfectly, people never practice response. When those systems falter, even briefly, panic fills the gap. We saw this during supply chain disruptions, power outages, and shortages. It wasn't just the lack of goods that caused distress. It was the realization that many people no longer knew what to do without the system functioning smoothly. I mean, it was complete chaos. Do you remember going to the store during 2020 and all the shelves were empty? And I mean, people were fighting over bags of beans. It was that insane. There is this growing discussion about the idea that convenience produces fragility, not because people are weak, but because they were never required to remember how to be capable. So these skills passed down through generations were replaced by services. Knowledge stored in hands was replaced by instructions on screens, and memory moved from body to the cloud. We talk about this AI takeover, but I'm like, man, the AI takeover is already here. Think about how much AI is being used. Our memories in the cloud. What is going on? It's like we're almost already connected with AI. Homesteading quietly reverses that amnesia. It brings memory back into our hands. How to grow, how to preserve, how to repair, how to make do, and how to adapt when things don't go according to plan. So these skills don't just produce food or shelter. They produce confidence and clarity under pressure. There is also a deeper layer worth acknowledging. So systems built around convenience tend to reward dependence. When people rely on external structures for every basic need, they become vulnerable to disruption, control, and fear. This does not require malicious intent to be true. Dependence is simply easier to manage than autonomy. So homesteading restores autonomy in quiet, practical ways. It does not reject modern life outright, but it simply adds capability back into it. This redundancy. I mean, every day I do the same thing every morning. I go and feed my animals. I water my animals. I see how they're doing. I make sure they have mineral skills, memories, options. All of these things come full circle with homesteading. And when people regain those things, something shifts. They become less reactive, less forgetful, less fragile, not because life is easy, but because they remember how to meet it. When you have chaos going on, you know what to do because you've seen it before. That may be the most radical effect of homesteading of all. And food safety, because a big part of homesteading is you're preserving food, you're growing food. But food safety is not just about pathogens, you know. When you're canning, people are so scared of botulism, but it is about trust. It's about the nervous system feeling safe to digest. So when food is anonymous, processed, and disconnected from origin, the body stays guarded. Like, think about that. Where is that tomato coming from in the grocery store? It's perfect, but it's being imported from somewhere. What kind of standards did they have? What were they growing it in? Who put their energy into growing that tomato? You just don't know. So preparing food at home restores relational trust with nourishment. You know the ingredients, you know the process, you know the hands involved. That familiarity reduces stress before the first bite. All of these actions have consequences. There is also evidence that cooking and eating home-prepared meals improves insulin sensitivity and gut function. But beyond the science, there is something ancestral happening. The body recognizes food that required effort and care. That recognition calms your body's system. Your body has not forgotten. Homesteading works because the human body has not changed in what it requires to feel steady, capable, and at peace. You have rhythm, effort, responsibility, and connection were these never outdated needs. They were simply crowded out by noise, speed, and convenience. The body didn't forget them. We just stopped listening to our body. We outsource everything and we forgot to tune in where it matters most. So this conversation isn't about rejecting modern life or trying to go backwards. It's about restoring balance and bringing those skills that our great grandparents had forward. It's about bringing back the pieces of daily living that anchor the nervous system and give the body a sense of order and purpose. So when something essential is missing, the body notices long before the mind can put words to it. So restlessness, anxiety, and disconnection are often signals, not flaws. So homesteading isn't just this nostalgic thing. It isn't an aesthetic. It's not about doing everything perfectly or all at once, okay? I have so many projects on my homestead that are not perfect and I have to go back and I am continuing to learn each day, but it's about that remembrance. It's about thinking of my ancestors. It's a return to practices that make sense to my body. It's work that has meaning. So take a moment and think of when you've been in your garden or your canning or you're cooking food from scratch. Like, how did that make you feel? I know all of those things can have stress associated with them. You have a big meal you're preparing, or you have garden plants that are failing. But how did it feel when you're able to disconnect and just put your mind into it? To have that food that feels safe, days that follow a rhythm and rest that feels earned. If there's one thing I hope you take from today's episode, it's this. It's the pull you feel towards simpler living, towards growing food, towards learning skills, towards slowing down. It's not random and it's not fear. It's not rebellion. It's that recognition. It's your body that's in tune with your environment. And we have been so disconnected from that. But the body knows when it's back in alignment with these things and you can feel it. And when life begins to follow a rhythm that makes sense again, everything else has room to settle. So I want to say thank you so much for being here, for listening, and I hope that you have an amazing day. You can find me on all social media, Gubba Homestead, and until next time, bye.